Our final case for today, now this afternoon, is United States against Juan Flores Olague. So, Mr. Mohabbat.
Good morning. May it please the Court, my name is Amir Mohabbat, to represent the appellant Juan Flores Olague. This appeal raises one issue, and that is whether the District Court erred by applying the sentencing enhancement pursuant to U.S. Sentencing Guideline 2D1.1B12. Mr. Flores argues that it did. The enhancement is set to apply when a defendant maintains a premises for the purpose of manufacturing or distributing a controlled substance. Application Note 28 of USSG 2D1.1B12 sheds light as to how the determination should be made as to whether or not the defendant does so maintain a premises.
So let me say, I mean, it may shed a little bit of light, but not as much as might be ideal, but one of the things it certainly says is that the manufacturing or distributing need not be the sole purpose as long as it's one of the primary or principal uses. So that says to me that it doesn't have to be, so there could be other primary or principal uses, such as use as a residence. And then we have this frequency-infrequency comment at the end of it. But the Eighth Circuit, in the Miller case, thought that it was compatible with both the guideline and the application note to use the enhancement even though somebody was using a residence. So why shouldn't we go along with that?
Well, Your Honor referenced Miller, and the Miller decision was issued about a week after I had filed my brief.
I know. I'm not criticizing you for not stating it, but you obviously know that it's out there.
Your Honor made reference to primary or principal use, that language from the comment. You know, when I think of the word primary, I think of the word first. What is the first use? In this case, it was Mr. Flores's home. It's where he lived with his longtime girlfriend of 20 or so years and with a son they were raising together. So it need not be the defendant's primary or principal use of the premises. That is correct, and the very next sentence gets into that frequency discussion. I think you have to read these two sentences together.
Do we know what frequency even means? Are we supposed to count by the minute, or are we supposed to say, well, frequency, he's selling every day, so in that sense, there was tremendous frequency?
I don't think frequency is defined, and I think that's part of why the eighth...
There was also the frequency of the number of customers that were observed coming in a period of time, so it may have been daily, but it also was the volume of business that was going on there.
And I think the Eighth Circuit said they were baffled by what frequency means, and I think their bafflement is what led them onto their ruling. But I think they also read a public policy argument into this comment 28. They made reference to how the defendant in Miller was raising children, and therefore that defendant should be punished more severely by using this enhancement for having kids on a premises where drugs were made and or sold. Well, that's completely outside the purpose of, I think, this enhancement. There's no discussion of child rearing. In addition, I think if you have children there, that actually goes the other way. It shows this is the place where you're primarily using it for your home to raise your kids.
Did he have a job outside the home?
Pardon me, Your Honor?
Did he have a job outside the home?
Mr. Flores?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that, Your Honor.
Well, did anybody ever discuss what else he does? Does he hang out in the house all day?
I don't know, Your Honor. I think there was a point in the record on that issue one way or the other.
Well, it would help if he had to do something else besides just be home all day. Yeah, you can say he's a stay-at-home dad. That assumes the girlfriend's going out working. You don't know.
I don't want to presuppose that. I just don't know, Your Honor.
Okay. Well, I'm only presupposing that there's nothing else in the record except that he stays home and sells drugs. That's kind of a problem.
Well, and the at time of sentencing, the parties sent letters. They weren't really briefs. They were letters to the district court to support sentencing one way or the other. And I think the government had asked the district court to read from the Acosta case from this court from 2008 in defining what does the word maintains mean. And I don't believe the district court judge explicitly adopted the definition of maintains from Acosta, but I will address it nonetheless. In Acosta, there were multiple defendants operating multiple properties for mixing and selling drugs. In this case, Mr. Flores was operating one property, and it was just him. In the Acosta case, if we were just to adopt the word maintains from 21 U.S.C. 856, as the government asks us to do, I think we'd be doing a disservice to the Sentencing Commission. If they wanted us to just adopt what maintain means out of 21 U.S.C. 856 and stick it into this enhancement, they could have said so. They did not do that.
The facts applicable here didn't show just an incidental use of the premises for the drug dealing. There was the profits were kept there, the tools of drug dealing were there. This defendant was shown to have traded drugs there for over 3 years. He had over 10 customers in this one period of time when it was being monitored, and he had control, significant control over all the activities taking place in the house. So I don't understand how on the facts you couldn't say that the maintaining the premises hasn't been established.
I don't know that the district court gave the sort of analysis Your Honor just announced. I think she just said, I find that you maintained it, and without as much clarification as you just set forth, Your Honor. Moreover, the district court in this case made comments that I think venture too far from the relevant record.
I don't see that at all, actually, because the comments here are about Mr. Flores. They're not, you know, the district judge's view of the world in general. They are comments directed at, you know, his immigration status. They're comments directed at his abuse of his girlfriend. That's him. That's his personal history and characteristics, which is certainly a 3553A factor.
The very first one.
The first one, A1.
So. But if we looked at this court's Figueroa case that I cite to.
This is not Figueroa. I mean, I well remember the facts in Figueroa, and we were discussing Hitler's dog, and we were discussing the problems in Mexico and all sorts of other things. And this case is about Mr. Flores. There has to be a line. Judges need to and are encouraged to look under 3553A1 at the history and characteristics of the defendant. I don't know what his Spanish language has to do with it, but, you know, maybe a commitment to the community or something.
Well, with respect to both the Figueroa and the Troy Smith case that I cited to, which was a case that I had argued successfully in front of this court, I'm taking the part of those cases where the district court referred to community violence and taking that and equating it to domestic violence.
But this man was a control freak with respect to the girlfriend. The evidence in the record is actually quite disturbing, but it's about him. I didn't see it as being about the community. So anyway, if you want to save any time for rebuttal,
I will. Thank you.
Ms. Rumbelow.
Good afternoon, Your Honors. First, to address Judge Mannion's question, in the pre-sentence report, the defendant told the interviewing probation officer that he was working at the farm that surrounded this rental property, so that he received the rent for free at this premises that we are discussing today, and then he also earned like $5.50 an hour, $6.50 an hour. That was the record, and that's the evidence in the record about
his
outside employment.
Part of his payment for working on the farm was
free rent.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm familiar with that.
He did everything on this property. And that's how Judge Crabb looked at it. I mean, she did state, I have it in page 11 of the government's brief, when she was discussing the facts that supported this two-level enhancement, she said, even though the defendant's family lived in the house with him, he stored and sold drugs from that house for more than 3 years and did so on a daily basis to regular customers. And then law enforcement agents found 4 firearms, more than $53,000 in cash, and 9 grams of cocaine. And those are the facts that do overwhelmingly support this two-level enhancement in this case for this defendant. I don't know. I mean, if you want to talk about hypotheticals, let's say he only bought 1 ounce of cocaine once a month, brought it back to his house, sold it in one day, and that was it. Is that maintaining the premises? I don't think so. But when you look at the application note 28, and all the other cases the government cited, Miller and Acosta, frequency. He lived in this house every day, yes, but he also stored his cocaine there every day for 3 years. So I agree with Judge Wood. It's a very fact-specific analysis, case by case. And this particular defendant, I don't know how you could say he doesn't maintain a drug house. To say that he doesn't get this two-level enhancement, but had he maintained a separate, like just a crack house, and sold drugs, that then he gets it? Here, his conduct was more egregious. He did have a son in the home, his wife, that he was a control freak over, and the four firearms and all of the cash. I mean, he did plead guilty to 924C violation, too. So to suggest that this two-level enhancement does not apply in this case under these overwhelming facts, the government just doesn't think has any merit. And Judge Crabb did separate that analysis first, the two-level enhancement. Then when deciding how to sentence the defendant on this count, that's when she discussed the 3553A factors. She did not impermissibly consider, you know, his role against his girlfriend, the violent conduct in the past. She did not consider that in deciding to apply this enhancement. She considered that in deciding where to sentence him within the appropriate guideline range, and she did give him the low end of the guideline range, 108 months.
So why does the fact that he doesn't speak English belong here at all?
The best I can
get. Offensive, actually.
Well, I think when you look at 3553A, history and characteristics, he'd been in the country a long time, and what I can't speak, that he wasn't assimilating to the community, wasn't, you know, he was isolating himself, selling cocaine, making all of this money. He just wasn't really here for a lawful purpose. That's my best guess, is that if you're really assimilating yourself.
When I heard it in terms of the 3553A factors, while it could be a misleading factor, it could evidence some bias, which I think would be sort of a stretch here. But it does say to me that he wasn't assimilating, that he couldn't get a driver's license, for example, or he couldn't do the other things that allowed him to operate fully, lawfully in the community. It is a characteristic.
Yes.
And he had been here for a substantial period of time.
And I think it went to his attempts to assimilate, you know, in lawful activities in the community versus unlawful.
This was in Dane County where this was?
Yes. So if the court doesn't have any further questions, I ask that you affirm the judgment and conviction of the district court. Thank you.
Thank you. Anything further?
So going to Judge Mannion's question, apparently my client did have a lawful job, farming, making $5 or $5.50 an hour. So he was not a professional or a full-time drug dealer, so to speak, which I think goes against the enhancement. Whether or not my client spoke English really shouldn't be consideration whatsoever. Non-English speakers do get driver's licenses. I don't believe that's a requirement to speak English to get a driver's license. In addition, if Mr. Flores is enhanced, I think essentially he's being punished for committing a violation of 21 U.S.C. 856. He wasn't charged under 856.
But there are a lot of overlaps, you'll agree. You know, there's an armed career criminal statute and there are armed career criminal guidelines enhancements. This wouldn't be the only place where that happens.
It's true. It would not be the only place, but I do raise it because
and
it is a due process.
And if it's sentencing,
concern.
The district court is supposed to get sort of the global sense of things. We tolerate overlaps. We expect them.
Are there any further questions from the panel?
Apparently not. You were appointed, were you not?
I was.
You have the thanks of the court for your help to us and to your client.
Thank you.
And thanks as well to the government. The case will be taken under advisement, and we will be in recess until tomorrow.